This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, one of the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show. As we continue to roll on, it's been a good first hour. Why stop there? We're trying to get, right now as we speak, Jay Kaplan, the Chronicle beat writer, to join us. Hopefully around 3:30 today, and if he's free, we'll get him on. We have questions. Hopefully he has answers on Lance McCullers and others.
Yeah, he had tweeted that Lance had a bullpen session scheduled for the 20th, and so it'll be interesting. They said if all goes well, McCullers could return to the Astros starting rotation this Sunday against the Angels. So I'd like to get an update on that and see where it is.
For sure. So,
yeah, if he can't join us today, we'll get him on tomorrow and tell us about that, get his thoughts on third starter and everything else Astros. So that'd be cool.
Now, from time to time, and you are the analytics expert in this group.
Uh-oh.
You are the numbers guy, as we like to go by. And I'm more the eye test guy. But we've gone back and forth in several sports in terms of talking about teams and breaking down plays and players and the different ways you can look at it. And we know analytics has become a big thing in sports. And I was always the one that goofs around with you guys and says, well, you know what? If a guy in the fourth quarter with his right hand going left with 5 minutes on the clock scores 45% of the time, I got to have that guy. No, I need to know if that guy can play or if he can't. And we've kind of joked around about it. But the other night,
I feel like you're painting me into a corner. I'm just going to say that. I feel like you're painting me into just strictly a numbers guy.
No, not just strictly a numbers guy. Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, I said of us, you're the guy that will bring the numbers into the equation
okay.
more.
All right. I just want to make sure.
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I'm actually the nice guy in the group, too. So with that being said.
Shots fired.
With that being said.
Man down! Man down!
We know with as big a city as this is, we're pretty open-minded and we discuss things. In New York, they're pretty cut and dried and they're basically kind of hot-headed. From time to time.
Kind of.
Okay, I'm trying to be nice, right? Because I'm the nice one. So the other night, the Giants' offensive line was, again, awful. And certain people started to try and use analytics to stick up for them to say, nah, they're not that bad. Well, ESPN radio host Don LaGreca had a little different point of view, and he decided to express it. It sounded like this.
Did he have to throw the football? Come on, stop it already. All right, everybody's coming up with these now. Oh, well, this offensive lineman, only 27% of the time was Eli pressured from his left side on Monday nights when Sean McDonough's the announcer. Stop. Stop creating some narrative that you, everybody knows football better than somebody else. Your eyeballs tell the story. The offensive line sucks. Period. That's my stat. You want a stat? You want sabermetrics? Offensive, Don LaGreca tweeted last night or said on the Michael K show, offensive line stinks. That's the stat. Give me a break. That's what we're going to do, Michael. We're going to be like accountants now in baseball. Was it the Pythagorean theorem? The Pythagorean theorem said that the Giants' offensive line, that their record should be 1-1. That's the Pythagorean theorem said that the Giants' offensive line, that their record should be 2-0.
When I talk Pythagorean theorem, I sound like that?
No. Oh. The people that trust the Pythagorean theorem,
okay.
The people that listen to the Pythagorean theorem, the people that sit there at their desk, that only know the naked body through National Geographic, that do the math to come up with the Pythagorean theorem, that's what they sound like.
Wow.
Quit it. It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years. 40 years. That's one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen. And they have not gone this long without scoring 20 points since 77-78 when Joe Pisarcik was their quarterback. Patterson played Joe. So take that with your Pythagorean theorem. The Joe Pisarcik theorem. You're dead.
I love it. They go right back to the calls. And here's the thing. Two things.
I have so many thoughts on this.
I do, too. One, he at least roped in a Mike Tyson impersonation to rope from yesterday's show with the way he started getting into all that.
See, he covered well because he screwed up in his verbalization. And so he's
with the Pythagorean theory.
Yeah, but he covered well. I just feel like the rant at the end was fake.
Do you?
He wasn't that mad.
That's what they sound like.
That's pretty good, though. That part is great. But I just kind of feel like he was.
I did feel after he did that, like Chris Farley was coming in at one point to say he had his 52nd heart attack, but Ditka was going to make it. It was a little bit over the top.
Yeah, I felt a little forced. But he is right to a degree. But, you know, I'm of a different opinion. I'm of the opinion that numbers don't lie. The eye test, yeah, the eye test. But also there's guys that you can look at that you think are playing well, but then when you examine other things, you realize, oh, maybe not. You know what I mean? Like you've got to have a balance.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Between the two. I am in the camp of you use both. There's a delicate balance between the two, because the numbers don't lie. So you can base a lot on that. But at the end of the day, too, there is something to be said about putting a guy on the field of play, whatever sport it is, and putting him through that to make sure that the eye test tells you he can play, he can do this, he can do that. But yeah, for sure, I think I think you should use all resources that are at your disposal, and you use a balance of both of them. But to say one is better than the other, or it's one way or the other, I think that you're screwing yourself.
I did like the shot about having only seen a naked body through National Geographic.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was pretty creative. That was well done. I mean, like, there were certain parts of the rant that were great. It just felt a little forced, because if you've watched it, he's sitting there, he's kind of casual, and then all of a sudden he loses his mind, and then he's like, sip of water. So I think it's a little bit of theatrics, but I think he's...
That's my favorite part. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I cannot help it. Like, why are you doing that? I have no idea.
I retweeted it, but his co-host the whole time is just glass-eyed, glazed, just waiting for it all to end. And then, except for the time when he thought he was taking a shot at him, and then it was like, oh, is that what you're saying that I do? He pulled a me. So, in short, he did. But then, then they get back to straight basics and business. So,
yeah, I just love it. He's like, all right, let's go to Joe. It's like, just like, okay, are you done? All right. Sometimes, but see, that's the thing. And you get on me sometimes. I'm breaking down the fourth wall here. But sometimes you'll go on a rant, or you'll go on a tangent. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a rant, but a tangent. And you'll talk for a while. Mm-hmm. And then you'll look at me, and I don't have anything to add. Because it's like, what do you want me to do? Like, oh, you said what you had to say. I got nothing to add. And then we go on. And that's what happens a lot. And so they just, that's what I really, doing what we do.
Yep.
I appreciated that part of it, because his co-host is like, all right, let's go to Joe on the line and see what, I mean, sometimes that's all you can do. If you try to follow something like that, it's pointless. You're just like, just let him have his moment and be done.
There are times, too, though, if you take the different point of view, then you'll
go
into
that. Yeah, I'll argue.
Yeah, but I think because we've all gotten to know each other better now, we know that when I get upset, I'll go to the puckered lip and then go to the drink cup and stare at Nick. And when that happens, Barry looks at me and goes, yeah. And that's about it. You normally just go, okay, yeah, okay. And then we just move on.
It does sound like that. Yeah.
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 Yeah, there just you like go. That.
That one?
Yeah. Yep,
that's one. That's either when I haven't been paying attention because I'm reading text and catching exactly. up. I either, because sometimes you get long-winded and I just zone out. I'll be honest with you. Yep. Sometimes I'm like, all right, I'll just let him run. I'm going to go read some text. I'm going to go do my taxes. I'll come back and check in with him later, see how he's doing. So then I've lost track, and then you come in, I'm all, yeah, I don't know what to add right now. I don't know what to say. As Joel takes a sip of his water, and it's one of those times.
You're not the only one. I just don't, I just don't check the text messages when I'm
right. You're over there buying shoes.
But that's part of the beauty of what we do.
Right.
From time to time, things are going to be more passionate than others for us, and we go off. But it's not, you don't take it personal, but at the same time, look, I don't know that do you really think that part of that was contrived? Like he was doing that because he knew he was on TV?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Maybe I was thinking maybe like the rant was genuine, and then he realized, well, I'm this deep into the rant. You know what I mean? I'm not letting off the gas now. I couldn't tell. Like, that wasn't my first thought that it was contrived. But
mine either. But
people are good at hiding that.
At a certain point, he in his mind, while he's still talking and regurgitating information, is in the back of his head going, did I go too far on this?
Because that's never happened to either one of you where you're in the middle of a rant and you realize, oh, man, I might be going too far. That's never happened. Not just on the air, but in life in general.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily in life, but
with my wife.
Yeah, I've done that here on air where I'm like, ooh, am I crossing the line with this?
I've done that for sure.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, let's be real. I mean, if we're talking about the elephant in the room, when he's talking like that, like, we know what he was implying. You know what I mean? Okay, so we know what he's implying there without having to say the words, right?
Absolutely.
And so you look at that and you go, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that's not offensive. In today's culture, in today's society, that's deemed offensive to a lot of people.
I would bet somewhere on
not his, me. I thought it was hilarious.
I would bet somewhere on his social media or otherwise, people were clapping back.
Are you
going,
Are you making fun of people with mental disabilities? Right. It's like, no, I'm just making a funny voice. Although
but
we
I
both
think,
know,
I think once he got done with it, he was like he was trying to get a laugh out of it too and a reaction. But the reaction that he realized after it came out of his mouth was basically, oh, God, I might have really opened up a can of worms here.
Yeah, it was different between that and me making fun of Tyson. Like, Tyson will just murder me, and that'll be the end of it. The other one, you could really have some backlash after all said and done. Got this couple of texts, one for you, specifically for you.
All right.
But this text, Fly Eagles Fly, shout out to my Eagles. There you go, you got
Everybody's.
Yeah, I mean, why hate, right? They're playing well. I'm a pastor, and that pay it forward line always ends with me. I love it. Even a man of God's like, I'm not paying it forward. Mm-mm. Nope, not doing it.
Did he sign it, Joel?
Nope. I bought food. Yeah.
Right. You know? Yeah. Just throwing it out there. Not me, by the way.
I'm not letting you in, and I'm not paying for your food. I'm not doing none of that, but I will take your offerings.
All of you that are displaced.
Come to Lakewood.
God would like you to lay some money on the plate.
God wants you to buy my latte. That's what it is.
You don't have a roof over your head, but we do now, thanks to you and God. So put some money on the plate.
I've bought food at a drive-thru for a car full of cute girls behind me. Worked out for one hell of a night for me. That was from your friendly neighborhood beer salesman. Man, you lucky.
You also got a trunk full of beer.
That kind
of
stuff never happens to me. That's like those. That's the penthouse forum story. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Where you're like, so the UPS driver walked in and, oh, his package was huge. And so was the package he was carrying. And you're like, what? That stuff never happens.
It's a party on wheels. He's the neighborhood beer sales. He just pops the trunk and he's got a party. Just add ice.
Somebody said laughing so hard I just left Starbucks and started it. I just said, boy. Hey, let me get the one behind me and moved on and we'll see how that goes. That's funny. We got some football questions I'll ask in a minute.
Okay.
And where did it go? This question's for Joel and we can do it on the other side.
Sure.
I'm also a diehard Packers fan. Do you think it's time to get rid of Dom Capers in the 3-4 defense? Doesn't fit our personnel. What do you think? And we'll get your... I know we got to go to break. Yep. I hear the music.
Okay.
But we'll do that on the other
side.
We
got a whole lot more coming up, too. We're working on Jake Kaplan. He is going to be indisposed with the manager, A.J. Hinch, between 3 and 4. So we're going to try and get him on at 2:45. We're going to keep moving along. We've got Sigmund Bloom coming up with fantasy football at 2:30. So a busy show, a busy afternoon, and a perfect time with the rain for you to stay tuned in the entire way on The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling along through The Usual Suspects on a rainy Thursday here in H-Town as we've covered little Astros and a little baseball. But one thing that I did want to mention to you guys because it really hit home for me. But we were doing the show yesterday during the day game between the Yankees and the Twins. And I had mentioned to you in passing, something must have happened during the game because the players' faces looked just like complete anguish and fear. And, and then everybody in the section behind the dugout on the third base side was looking away from the field. And it turns out when I got home last night, I saw the story start breaking that a grandmother and grandfather that are season ticket holders of the Yankees brought their 2-year-old daughter to the Yankee game last night or yesterday. And they don't have the nets that they do have at Minute Maid. And Todd Frazier hit a foul ball at 105 to 120 miles an hour that hit the little girl square on in the head.
Yeah, that is scary.
And I'm telling you, it ripped through me because I'm sitting there as I'm reading all this, and next to me in the high chair is Taylor and her grandma. And I even said to her, I said, no offense, but like if you guys had taken her to a game and that happened, I would be inconsolably like freaking out.
Absolutely.
You know, that's just, it's just, and when I saw the pictures, I couldn't help but like say, she's about the same size as my daughter. And I'm going, and even Lisa's mom said, you either sit up higher because Lisa's brother has twin boys that are five. And if they go to a game, they sit up a little higher. But if you're in the fifth row and it's unprotected, and no offense to AARP, grandfathers, whatever, reflexes, but you're not stopping with your bare hand by yourself a foul ball at 105 miles an hour, let alone trying to protect your granddaughter, who's on your lap, presumably. But that is a scary deal, and I know Rob Manfred talked about it in Seattle last night, the commissioner of baseball, to say, look, they've put out suggestions to all major league teams. It's up to the actual teams and stadiums to put up the said netting. A lot of people have said, the players were very passionate about this last night and said, look, bottom line is, I don't care if it affects your viewing because there's a little net in front of you. It's all about safety.
I'm of the opinion that you have to know what you're getting into when you go to a game like that. I mean, if you sit down the first base or third base line, you know that foul balls are a real possibility.
Yep.
And you assume the liability as such. And so I'm with you. If you take a two-year-old to a game and you sit in the fifth row and you're not paying attention, like they suggest that when you before the game starts, they give you a bunch of announcements, and one of them is pay attention. The you know foul balls will go into the stands and they will hurt you.
Well, they even have signs up there on the wall leading right onto the field that say, hey, you are in an area yep. where balls, bats, and other things could come flying at any time.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you've sat behind home plate, right?
Yep.
Was the net a bother to you?
Not at all.
No. And I don't. And that's the reason. There's a reason it's the net. Now, do you want to say you want to put up some shatterproof glass like hockey or whatever? That's a different story. But I don't think the net is that big of a deal. I really don't.
Now, Lisa's mom asked me if I'd ever seen anything like this right in the first year or two that Minute Maid opened up, and you hit it right on the head. That third base line is, it's not like occasionally, it's a probability. There's going to be some hot shots going in the stands down that third base line. It's just how the stadium is designed. And I remember Billy Wagner coming in a game throwing 100 miles an hour and Juan Gonzalez turning on one. And before they could tell you how fast it was going, you just knew it was a laser.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit a kid. But thankfully, and I say this in all seriousness, thankfully it hit him in the chest. Because if there's any place that you're going to hit a kid, the last place you want it to hit is the head. And I said to you guys in the meeting, it's a blessing it didn't hit that little girl in the face because so much more damage could have been done. I guess it hit her in the side of the head. But if it could hit him in the chest, but even just that, and they're rushing the kid up the stairs, you forget and don't have any interest anymore in what's going on in that baseball game. You're just like, oh my God, it's a kid.
If I was sitting around the baby when it happened, I would have no interest in the baseball game, right. Honestly. I would just stop watching. And I wouldn't leave, but I would be distracted the whole time.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
Like Todd Frazier said, he hit the ball. He said, he even tweeted, I'm going to think about that girl every day now because I have kids about the same age, but he hit the ball. It's not his fault.
No.
You know?
No.
And no one will blame him, but you understand his subconscious going, I hit the ball.
Yep.
I feel awful. But that's a scary, scary situation. If you're the Yankees, look, I understand it's the mystique, it's New York, it's the Yankee Stadium, it's the whole deal. But that net, like you said, Barry, it's not going to make that big of a difference to your viewing pleasure. But if it means that it's going to save someone's life or a whole lot of problems medically, put it up.
I don't see why you wouldn't. I really don't.
You know?
I don't see why you wouldn't. And like you said, season ticket holders said it would obstruct their view. No, it won't. No, it won't. The best seats in the house are behind home plate, and there's a net there.
Yeah,
shut up.
That's a great point. And here's the thing. I want my chance at a foul ball. Well, if it's coming over the net, you're fine.
Yeah.
But if it's coming at you 100 miles an hour, chances are no matter how much you want a chance at a foul ball, there's a real good chance you're going to get hurt instead. I mean, you think about the ball last night if you guys were watching the game, but if you think about the ball that was hit right back up the middle that caused Gregerson essentially to basically probably have to leave the game after two batters, it caught him square on the palm of his hand, not even on the mitt. And here's a professional athlete trying to get the reflexes up to catch that ball. Now try and do it when you've had a few beers or you got a handful of food or, you know, or you're just not that athletic with reflexes and yeah. you're going to – it's a no-win situation.
Somebody said if you've ever played baseball, fly ball to the outfield takes a second to judge. A line drive down third, no way to judge nope. and react that. No, not at all. And somebody had the suggestion there should be – this was Robert and Tom Ball. There should be a height or age restriction at games. I don't know about height because
no, you can't do that.
You have little people,
right?
And they—that's not fair to them. They should be able to sit there too. They're adults,
right?
You know what I mean? But yeah, an age restriction—I don't know if you could do that either, just because it's baseball, it's kids. Just put a net up.
But here's the thing: I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, adults are smart enough to make rational, educated decisions." No, they're really not. And for everyone that is, there's someone that's not that's going to bring kids, sit them on their lap. Also, you know, it's like you see – it's one thing when you see the replays of the fans that have the baby in one arm and the beer in the other or whatever and still makes a catch.
Those are awesome.
Those are awesome because they're looping or high fly balls. But you never want to see a situation where you intentionally put yourself in harm's way by sitting that close with no protection in front of you. And don't give me the dad that says, I got a mitt.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you're a dad and not a professional baseball player. I'm sure your glove hand ain't that quick.
Right. And then there's this
but
side.
You got a cannon,
It's their responsibility to pay attention to the game. If you can't do that, sit higher. And I'm not opposed to that either. I mean, I'm really not. But, I mean, you go back to it was a two-year-old. How much do you expect a two-year-old to be paying attention? I expect the people around her to be paying attention, but... I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting topic. I have no problem with the nets, though. I think that's a great it's a solution that doesn't harm anyone. You can still watch the game. What's the big deal? Put the net up.
And TJ says, man, y'all got to stop talking about that girl getting hit. Too hard to even think about. Ugh, so rough. But it needs to be addressed. And if we can get just one parent to make the right decision and go, hey, it's really cool to have seats in the first five rows, but if I'm going to bring my kid, unless I know that there's a net there and I'm fully protected, it's not worth it. You still got a great angle, and I'm sure, you know, look, Minute Maid's got so many, there's not a bad seat in that place, but you can go at the top of the first section or, you know, even more than halfway up, you're going to be more than protected, and you're going to make sure you keep your kid out of harm's way. So we got that out of the way. All right, now Sigmund Bloom is coming up. Sorry to change directions. We should at least get that out of the way because it was important. But now we get back to the stuff that's important to you guys as well. Just like that story, you guys love fantasy football. Sigmund Bloom is the expert. He is fantastic. He is great about getting as many answers to as many questions as we can give him. But you guys got to get us the questions so we can do them quickly because we don't want anybody to be left out like we did last week. So if you got questions, text us or hit us up on Twitter. We'll get them to him. He's next. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
They call me new money, say I have no class. I'm from the bottom, I came up too fast. The hell if I care, I'm just here to get my cash. They bougie, I'm hood.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the Usual Suspects with an expert. Sigmund Bloom joins us right now to talk fantasy football before the break. I did not give the phone number, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN, if you are so inclined to figure it out. That's the number to call. We've got plenty of stuff lined up. Sigmund, welcome back to the show. We always appreciate you spending some time with us to give valuable information. And, of course, right off the top, we know that week to week there are a lot of guys that are questionable or doubtful or people who need updates on. Any breaking news on any guys that we need to know about for the weekend?
Yeah, we'll get more of a clear picture tomorrow. But right now, it looks like Tyler Eifert's not going to play for Cincinnati. Not that you're necessarily taking any chances on their offense right now. Jordan Reed returned to a limited practice. It looks like he should be able to play Sunday night against Oakland. You'll have him for your lineup. John Brown is out. So it looks like it will be Jerron Brown and J.J. Nelson, which are both good plays against the woeful Cowboys secondary on Monday night. We're watching Terrence West, who hasn't played yet, practice yet this week, which means Alex Collins could get a lot of carries in London against the Jaguars for the Ravens, who have been able to run the ball very well. And we're watching DeMarco Murray closest. If he can't play on Sunday against Seattle, it means Derrick Henry could get the start. And Henry looked very impressive in the second half last week.
Yeah. Also, Jordy Nelson, who went out of that Atlanta game, has practiced all week and said it wasn't a pull, that it was just like a Charlie horse, and he expects to play. So that, I know, is a guy that's very popular on a lot of lineups. Yeah. So throw that one out there as well.
And Randall Cobb hasn't practiced yet with his shoulder injury, so we may see Nelson in there and no Cobb, which would help Devontae Adams get more targets against Cincinnati.
So you said Cobb may not play?
He hasn't practiced yet this week. His MRI was negative on his shoulder, but we haven't seen him practice yet, so he may sit. And we also give more opportunities to Martellus Bennett at tight end.
All right, let's go to John on the phone line. John, you got a question. What's up, John?
All right, this is my first one. Who are you thinking that quarterback would be better this weekend? Would it be Wentz versus the Giants, or would it be Cousins in Oakland?
I like better here, just because. I'm sorry, I like Cousins a little bit better here, just because I like the potential for a high-scoring matchup on Sunday night between Washington and Oakland. Wentz has played very well. The Giants' defense is a little bit tougher, and we did see. You know, I'm really most fearful of the Giants offense not doing anything against the Eagles and really not forcing Wentz to throw very often. So I'd go with Cousins.
All right. Pooch on Twitter wants to know, is this the week to start Derrick Henry?
Yeah. And I think even if DeMarco Murray can play this week, you're going to see a 50-50 split. Henry looked dominant, could have easily had two or three touchdowns in that second half. And I think that, he, you know, unless you have two really compelling options at running back, Henry should be in your lineup.
All right, Slim Medina on Twitter wants to know, which defense, Patriots or Rams?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'll probably go with the Patriots. We do have the Rams playing tonight against Brian Hoyer. I know your listeners know what Brian Hoyer can do, the Hoyer to the destroyer, but I expect that to be a conservative game and a lot of Carlos Hyde. Meanwhile, another one your listeners will be familiar with is the Patriots, probably jumping out to a lead, and Deshaun Watson could get some good fantasy stats, but he's going to be put outside of his comfort zone coming from behind, and it could be a lot of turnovers for the Texans this weekend.
713-780-3776. If you got a question for Sigmund, you can call the show and get in line right now. From the text line, a couple of questions for you. Cam or Cousins?
I'll go with Cam this week against the Saints. Until it backfires, we want to start everybody against the Saints.
Brady or Breeze?
I'll go with Brady. Look, Breeze is playing outdoors against a tough Panthers defense. I have Breeze outside of my top 10 quarterbacks this week, and some of the names ahead of him might surprise some folks. Certainly Brady is one of the names ahead of him.
Alex Smith or Russell Wilson?
Well, I have Russell Wilson ahead. I understand if folks are wary of playing Russell Wilson after how it went for the first 2 weeks, but they are going to recommit to passing downfield, to the no-huddle offense. Wilson's also a good runner. Smith has a somewhat tough matchup against the Chargers this week, so I'm going to stick with Russell Wilson.
I think I know the answer to this one, but somebody said Cooper or Cobb?
Cobb?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Cobb, is, you know, even if he plays, that shoulder could limit him. Cooper and Oakland's offense has been really outstanding, even though Cooper could draw some Josh Norman. I think that he lines up on the opposite side of the field where Norman usually lines up. And they haven't shown the willingness to have Norman travel across the field to follow a receiver. So I'm not worried about Cooper this week.
Ingram or Riddick at a flex?
Hey, Riddick. And partially because I don't trust any Saints back yet. Maybe there could be some clarity eventually, and the rookie Alvin Kamara could get to the top of that backfield. But Atlanta has given up a receiving touchdown to running back in each of the first two games, at least 8 receptions to running backs in each of the first two games. That means Theo Riddick could play a big role this week for Detroit.
All right, non-PPR, DeMarco Murray or Derrick Henry?
Yeah, Henry. And even if Murray is playing, he could aggravate that hamstring injury during the game. They could sit him early if he's just not responding well. Henry looked fantastic. They see that he's their best running back, and I think he's going to eventually take this job over when Murray's healthy or hurt.
All right, second part of that for Corey was PPR league, Dalvin Cook or Martavius Bryant?
Ooh, that one's a little bit tough. You know, it does look like Sam Bradford on the injury front. It does look like Sam Bradford's going to be back. He has been practicing. which spells good things for Cook, certainly a better surrounding offense for him. But Martavis Bryant gets to face Chicago. We saw him have a long touchdown last week. I think Cook is a little bit safer play. Bryant has a little bit of higher ceiling. I would probably lean to going for Cook here, but I wouldn't talk anybody out of Bryant.
With Johnson being out for Arizona and that three-headed running back situation, yeah, who's the guy to go to? Is it Chris Johnson because he got the most yards with the least amount of carries last week?
Yeah, it is. And all indications are that he's going to take that backfield over now, and Kerwin Williams is going to go back to the bench. So I expect Johnson to get 15-plus carries against Dallas on Monday night, and at least a 50-50 shot at a touchdown if Dallas' defense plays as poorly as it did in week two.
Thomas, you're up. What's your question, Thomas?
So I was going to see what y'all thought about Tariq Cohen this week and if he'd be worth putting in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all comes down to your scoring system. I do think Jordan Howard is not going to get out of the garage against the Steelers. Very tough run defense, and you're going to see Cohen get 6 or 7 or 8 receptions again. So in those point-per-reception leagues, he's going to have a nice high floor for you, probably 13, 14, 15 points. But if you're just looking for yards and touchdowns, I don't know if there's any bear we're going to play.
Flex question from Rory on Twitter. Cup, Amendola, or Johnson?
I'll go with Amendola here. He's practiced, so that makes him probably the second healthiest receiver for the Patriots. He was their leading wide receiver, even though he didn't play a whole game in week one against the Chiefs. And I would expect against the Texans banged up secondary, you'll have a good day on Sunday.
Somebody wanted to know, what do you do with Le'Veon Bell and Christian McCaffrey? Do you keep starting them? Do you hang in there?
Yeah, you hang in there with Bell for sure. As long as he's getting those touches, he's going to break through. With McCaffrey, it might not be as bad as it appears. He was wide open for a touchdown that should have clinched the game against Buffalo. Cam Newton just missed the throw, but those opportunities will continue to come. And again, you know, when in doubt, we're going to start everybody. That's McCaffrey this week.
Is it time to panic on Kyle Rudolph?
It just depends on Sam Bradford. If Bradford's knee holds up and this was just a one-week blip, then Rudolph's going to be okay. But if it's Case Keenum, then we're worried. Maybe we may eventually come back around to Teddy Bridgewater by the end of the year. But it's all about Sam Bradford's knee.
Joe, you're up. What's your question, Joe?
Yeah, Marcus Mariota, Cousins, or Winston?
Yeah, I'll go with Cousins this week. Mariota has a tough matchup against Seattle. Winston has a tough matchup against Minnesota. Cousins, again, I expect a lot of points Sunday night against Oakland.
A couple of Twitter questions. Manuel wants to know, who's a good replacement for Tyler Eifert?
Ben Watson was the leading receiver for the Ravens, and he should continue to be a big part of the attack there. Hunter Henry bounced back if he was dropped after week one. Jack Doyle bounced back if he was dropped after week one. Jared Cook has a good matchup this week against Washington. So there should be an option or two on the waiver wire for you.
Brandon Marshall, Mohamed Sanu, or Adam Thielen?
I'm tempted to go with Thielen with Sam Bradford back, but it is a tough matchup against Tampa. So I'm going to go with Mohamed Sanu, and as I expect there to be a lot of passing success between Atlanta and Detroit. And it pains me to say it, but I don't even think I'd be having Brandon Marshall on my roster at this point.
Gillisley or Stewart?
Gillisley, you know, they're in similar situations, both going to get 15 to 20 carries, get goal line opportunities, but we know the Patriots can set Gillisley up for multiple touchdowns. It's a little bit tougher with Cam Newton not quite in good form yet.
Sigmund, what are you hearing about Josh Gordon? I'm hearing rumblings he might get reinstated today. What's the deal on that? What's the play from a fantasy perspective?
His rehab wound up today, and he can apply for reinstatement. You know, the league's discipline procedures are always hard to predict, but we've seen for the Browns now, Kenny Britt is loafing and getting talked to from the coach. Corey Coleman broke his hand. So if Josh Gordon can come back and the team will welcome him back, he could be their number one receiver. And now they have a quarterback in DeShone Kizer who likes to throw downfield.
All right, last call, last one. Travis, you're a little lucky last caller. What you got?
Hey, in Dancing with the Stars, you got Terrell Owens or Nikki Bella?
Travis.
Of course, we got to go T.O. We got to get T.O. in the Hall of Fame, too.
There you go. Sigmund, how can people reach you on Twitter and tell them about the apps that the footballguys.com offers that can help them with trades and setting their lineups?
At Sigmund Bloom on Twitter, and I'll also answer questions on the Football Guys message board through Sunday kickoff. We've got the lineup dominator that takes all of our collective intelligence to help you set your lineup, and the waiver wire trade dominator to help you manage your teams. So check those out at the store, wherever you get your apps.
I was going to say, it's available for both Android and iPhone, correct?
Yeah, okay. Got it.
And if they don't see it in the store or whatever, they can just go to footballguys.com, and there's a link there to those apps, correct?
Absolutely.
Perfect, man. Thanks a lot, Sigmund. We'll talk to you. Actually, we'll talk to you Sunday and next week.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right.
Sigmund Bloom, always a good get right there. Hopefully we got all your questions answered. If not, you know the drill, you know the deal, and next week you'll get in a little quicker, so we'll make sure that we get all of your questions answered. Now, bouncing right back to more sports, we're going to try and get Jake Kaplan on next of the Houston Chronicle that covers your Houston Astros. If we can get him on, well, what an hour this will be. We continue to roll on and work for you. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Runners will be on the move with two outs. Into right center field. That ball is going to be down and to the wall. Merwin scores. Gattis around third. He'll score. Yuli Gurriel, a two RBI double.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That was Todd Callis, the lead play-by-play guy, along with Jeff Blum, doing Astros play-by-play every night on AT&T Sportsnet. And now another guy that covers the Astros on a daily basis, Jake Kaplan, joining us. Jake, the beat writer for your Houston Chronicle. You can follow him. He's a great follow, at Jake M. Kaplan on Twitter. Jake, thanks for spending some time with us. I know you're busy and getting to the ballpark. We appreciate
it. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, man, we were just talking about this, and Barry's got a couple of questions. I'll save the good ones for him. But right off the top, I know that there's been a lot of chatter back and forth, but you cover these guys in the clubhouse every single day. I'm watching the scoreboard every night. How much scoreboard watching are they doing with the Indians, and how focused are they on making sure that they do everything they can to get that best record in the American League?
I mean, I think it's obviously on their mind. There's not much they can do to control the Indians winning every single night, so... at some point, there's only so much they can do. But, you know, I think they're just kind of focused, it sounds cliche, on winning every night. And, you know, if it turns out that, you know, they come out on top and the Indians lose a few games, obviously they'll be thrilled to face the wild card winner who's already used its best arm. But if not, I think they feel they match up with the Red Sox decently and you know, they'll face them. So, honestly, I think the home field thing's a little overrated in general. I think it's more about matchups, and you know, I think the Astros match up better with the wild card winner than the Red Sox. But you know, I think on paper they're probably a better team than the Red Sox also. So you know, I think they're definitely obviously want the best record, but I think ultimately they're more important for them is making sure they're in a good place going into the playoffs.
Jake, there's a lot of talk about this third spot in the rotation in the division series, and I even saw your article where you wrote about Brad Peacock. What is the status of McCullers? I know I saw you tweet out that he was supposed to have a bullpen session yesterday. How did that go, and what's the next step for this team with Lance McCullers?
So we should find out around 4 o'clock from A.J. Hinch. He did throw his bullpen session yesterday. If it went well, which we didn't – he was throwing it as A.J. Hinch was talking to us yesterday, so we didn't get a word on it. Yesterday, but if it went well, I would expect him to maybe start on Sunday. You know, and if he does start Sunday, that puts him in line for two starts before October, which keeps him in line to have a shot at the rotation for the postseason. You know, they obviously need to see him pitch well to have the confidence to throw him out there in October and see him get through it without issue. But it's definitely not out of the realm that he's in their playoff rotation, even despite having made only one start since July 30th.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up, is if, you know, if he doesn't make these starts, is he out? And obviously he would be. So who's your pick? I mean, I read your article. It sounds like you're in the Brad Peacock camp as well. If McCullers can't go, that's the guy that should get the ball?
Honestly, you know, from everything A.J. Hinch said yesterday, you know, in his pregame session with reporters, it sounds like Brad Peacock's in. You know, and I think at some point, you know, I don't think that was always the plan, but I think at some point he pitched so well, so consistently that, you know, he forced his way in there. You know, as a starter, he's got a 3.2 something ERA and 20 starts, and the strikeout per nine is elite. So I think at some point, you know, as good as he would be in an Andrew Miller type long relief role for the postseason, you know, you want your best pitchers pitching the most innings in the postseason, and, you know, he's one of their best pitchers. And so I think he's going to be in their playoff rotation.
Okay, offensively, they're getting healthy. Everybody's starting to hit again. But then it brings up the whole Carlos Beltran question. I know that people here have been clamoring that maybe he should be left off the playoff roster. I don't see that happening. But do you see A.J. Hinch going a different direction with the designated hitter come playoff time if he doesn't up that average and get a little bit more consistency at the plate?
No, I mean, I think he's going to play against right-handed pitchers as a DH. You know, I don't think that's ever really changed in their thinking. I mean, he's lost playing time. I think fans kind of ignore the fact that, you know, he didn't play yesterday. It's not like he's playing every single day. But I think there's no question he'll be in the playoff roster. He'll be in the playoff roster. And, you know, I think they're obviously hoping to, you know, he's one of the best playoff players ever. So they're hoping that he recaptures some of that. But, you know, I wouldn't expect him to play against lefties. He's obviously hit better against righties this year. And so, you know, I think his role will be platooning with Gattis or whoever else they throw Gurriel a DH here and there. I mean, he's going to be on the roster. There's no question about that.
Everybody's getting healthy. The bullpen's starting to look better. Everybody's kind of filling their role. We saw it the other night where AJ feels really good after the fifth inning of getting, you know, everybody in lined up from the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. Who's going to be the odd man out, and who has assured themselves of a spot in that bullpen? I know Liriano has looked a lot better in his last five, six appearances.
So it depends on if they go with seven or eight guys. I think they're going to go with seven just because you don't need, with the off days in the postseason, you don't really need that extra guy. And also Verlander's kind of his own reliever at some point. So, you know, I think the locks for the bullpen would be Giles, Davinsky, Harris, Gregerson, Liriano is pretty close to a lock at this point, and Musgrove, which leaves really only the one spot, which probably goes to whichever starter extra starter they want to carry as a reliever, whether it's Charlie Morton or McCullers or McHugh, whoever kind of doesn't fit into that their rotation for the DS. So there's not too many jobs to be had, in my opinion, and I think their bullpen's definitely come into shape recently, you know, especially with the way Musgrove has really taken to that role.
Interesting that a guy like Clippard may not make the playoff roster. I thought he's pitched pretty well down the stretch, save for a few bumps in the road. What's the status on Gregerson? Any update on that?
He's fine. They said his X-rays were negative, and he's fine. So, I mean, he finished the inning last night. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't pitch tonight. He's pitched 2 days in a row, but it was his non-pitching hand, so I don't think there's any issue there.
Sounds good. I know you're busy, Jake. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Always a pleasure. Have a good time and get your stuff done at the ballpark.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
There you go. Jake Kaplan of the Houston Chronicle, at Jake M. Kaplan on Twitter. Great follow. Up-to-date information all the time on your Houston Astros. And that was some good stuff there.
I like it.
He had questions, he had answers.
Got all of them. I mean, when you want to know, you go to the source. Jake's the source. Whenever I do go to the game, he's always there. That's his job,
right?
No doubt. I mean, I go a little bit. I know Nick goes quite a bit, but Jake is there night in, night out. I don't know if I could do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially baseball being a long season like that.
I don't know if, but I guess if that's all your responsibility is covering that team.
When you're a beat writer, it is.
Those guys are the unsung heroes of information.
Because practices happen when they don't play.
Yeah.
You know, especially even in the NBA, when they're not playing, they have practice. When they don't have practice, they have a shoot around. You have to do so much. And those guys that are beat writers, it's a thankless job because you've got to have all the information. You can't get beat on a story. And yet you have no time to yourself because you're constantly following every move that the team makes.
I wonder if they get in trouble if they get beat on a story. Like, are they like, how come you didn't have this?
I know for a fact that at times it at least is brought up to them. Because Mark Berman's going to beat everybody for the most part. But
except on the Owen Daniels breaking news.
Good point. That was all you. But, you know, from time to time, your boss will give you, hey, you're following this team on a daily basis.
Really?
You didn't know that so-and-so didn't practice again today or that was going to be bumped up to the active roster. That's where they kind of encourage you. It's one thing to cover who, you know, what happened at practice. It's another thing, to have at least one or two kind of sources that you can go to go, hey, can you tip me off when they're about to activate someone or something like that? Because it's a no-win situation. You're doing your job if you get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you get beat on it, you're getting in trouble.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah,
God, it's tough, man. That. You know what's not tough? Saving money. That's not tough.
No and doubt
I know,
about that.
I know a great way you can save money on your electricity bill each and every month, and it's not by switching electric providers directly. It's by calling a company called Energy Ogre and letting them find the best rate for you. Because here's the deal. Energy Ogre isn't an electric company. They're a technology company. They monitor the energy market and find you the best rate based on how you use electricity. So it's not that you go with one company and you get locked in. I've had two energy providers this year alone, which I'm fine with because it's the same electricity. You know what the difference is? The difference is I've saved almost $650 this year compared to my last year's bills because I let Energy Ogre go out there and find an electric company for me. And let me tell you what, I paid $10 a month for their services, worth every penny because that $650 is after I pay their monthly fee. On average, they save their customers between 40 and 60% off their electric bill each month. Last year alone, $21 million is what their members saved. Why are you not doing this? It's really easy. You go to energyogre.com to sign up. They have a calculator there. You can put in your information. It'll give you an idea of what you're going to save based on the providers that they have available to you. And there's no hidden charges, no hassles, no catch. I mean, if you're not happy, you cancel. I mean, if you don't like it, if you don't like saving money, you can cancel it, but you're not going to because you're going to love how much money you save. My August bill last year, $281. This year, $132. I saved $149 with Energy Ogre. Guys, why aren't you doing this? Go sign up right now. EnergyOgre.com. I'm going to save you 10 more bucks. Go to EnergyOgre.com. Use promo code Barry. You'll get your 13th month free. EnergyOgre.com. Promo code Barry. Go save some money.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.